Coming up on What's Going On with Earl Ingram, the show where voices rise, truth matters, and community leads the conversation. Today, we're diving into a powerful discussion led by organizers from the Fresh Water for Life, along with the Lead Free Water Initiative, three powerful voices committed to telling the real story of Black America. Robert Miranda shares his insights on DEI and Trump policies. What happens when people's promises are delayed? What happens when they're denied? What happens when they're ignored? Stay with us as we talk literature, legacy, and liberation right here on What's Going On with Earl Ingram. And don't miss it, airing all this week on all streaming platforms. Follow us on civicmedia.us or wherever you follow your podcasts. And remember to please like and subscribe so you never miss your favorite episode.
Welcome back to What's Going On with Earl Ingram. You know, with all the things that are going on in the society right now, there's one guy who I know I always have a conversation and a dialogue with. He doesn't mind shaking the tree. And there's so many people who are just afraid today. And I just don't understand why so many people are afraid. And part of the reason I think that we're in the condition we're in is because people who say I'm an American and they talk about all the rights that we have that other nations don't have, I really think that people don't really believe that because they're so terrified. Oh, Earl, you shouldn't be talking about this. You shouldn't be talking about that. I hear this constantly. They're going to come after you. And I'm like, well, they're going to come after me for what? In this nation, people have fought, bled, and died for so-called democracy and freedom of speech. And then you got Americans who say, well, you can't say that, or they're afraid, they're shaking and quaking at every turn. Well, my guest today is not that guy. And I'm always excited to have him on. And so today's no different. Welcome back to my good friend, Robert Miranda. Hey, Robert, what's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, Earl. Good morning to everyone.
Are you shaking and quaking?
With anger? Yes.
Man, Robert, so much to talk about, man. I really wanted to, you know, have a heartfelt discussion with you that you and I have anyway, outside of these airways, but you and I have these conversations and have been for a long time. But there's something going on outside of what people see, and so I wanted to have this discussion with you from a different perspective, actually from a clairvoyant perspective as far as you are concerned, about what's really at the root of what has transpired here. It's for 9 months, a so-called the strongest democracy in the world has been dismantled. Mm-hmm. People have said that this could never happen. Another nation could never conquer this nation because we've got the most sophisticated nuclear weapons in the world. We spend trillions of dollars on military because we're afraid that somebody's going to try to do something to our democracy from outside of our borders. When right inside of these borders, inside of this nation, Robert, it has taken place. It's happening. And yet it's almost as if we can't do anything to stop it. Your thoughts?
Well, it's as been said before, and history has proven it, the demise of an empire always happens from within. And you see what's happening today, how a people can rise up against itself. And in the United States, that's, you know, basically what we see is a repeat of history. And, you know, in other eras, other millennia, there have been uprisings from within that were caused by certain economic issues, mostly about economics. But the empire of the United States is a little bit more different than that. I think the empire of the United States, the instability, the crack that has always been in our society has always been rooted and grounded on the issue of race. Race has been a major, major thorn in America, and it's always been that way since the first Europeans set foot on this land, the taking over of the land, the dismantling of the indigenous populations, then the importing of dark-skinned people to be slaves in this land, and then to ensure that control of all these dark-skinned people is maintained by those immigrants that came from Europe, and over the years that has been a part of the root of the American psyche, the legacy of America. And then came the 1950s. You know, I'm not going to talk about the Civil War. I'm not talking about the construction period and all that stuff, because still those Jim Crow laws, segregation, all that stuff was all part of the legacy of that psyche. The 1950s began the crack in that, began the destruction of that psyche, began the dismantling of the power and control that whites had in this country. And when the 1950s and the 1960s came in, laws were implemented to dismantle a lot of the segregation, to dismantle a lot of the prejudices, the discrimination, the white supremacy that existed. And then the rebirth of regaining that power, that legacy, started really in the 1980s, because you started seeing during the 70s, during the 80s, and in the 90s, whites started seeing blacks and brown people climbing. And that started pissing them off. That started getting them really upset. That started the evangelical movements of the 1990s. That started the white nationalist Christian movements of the 1990s. That one guy, Reed, was the leader and all that. It was all grounded in order to bring back that legacy that was lost in the 50s and 60s because of the civil rights movements, because of the pride of people of color rising up and saying, enough of this abuse that you have done to our people and our community. We're going to stand up. And in America, we bled, we fought the wars, we contributed to our economy, we've built this country. And that's why you see today the rhetoric coming out of the Trump administration, like Stephen Miller and all that. You know, you see them trying to reclaim. They're saying, we built this country. This is a white nationalist Christian country. This country has born as a white Christian nationalist country. When reality and history shows different, there were a conglomerate of people that came together to build this country. But white nationalist Christian movements always point to the fact that this country was built by us, was put together by us, and nobody else had a part in it.
Well, so Robert, at the root of it is, and what built this nation was cheap labor. And that was the people whose blood, sweat, and tears did the work.
Well, it was slaves. Mostly the slaves, indigenous slaves before black slaves.
Yeah, I'm not just talking about black in color, but all people who clearly were used and cheap labor is what laid the tracks.
Right.
And cheap labor is what picked the cotton and made and made the South king, and oligarchs got rich.
And if you recall, during the Industrial Revolution, when white workers started realizing, wait a minute, they're trying to put us as same as those yes. people of color who were taken advantage of. We're going to create unions. And so the major union movements began in order to make sure that white workers were not treated in that fashion and were elevated above all the past economic discriminations that were levied against brown and black and Native Americans in this country.
So Robert, you kind of quickly went over part of the history of why we are where we are now, but it's something that is really, I think, at the root of why we're experiencing what we're experiencing in this country right now, where all of a sudden the poor white man has been given a bad bill of goods,
right.
And he has not been treated fairly and equitably. I was reading an article this morning and talking about the fact that Donald Trump and the Republicans cut $10 million out of special education for teachers in the state of Wisconsin. And you know why? Because they had equity, diversity, equity, and inclusion. So you cut it, there's a shortage, a dearth of special education teachers, which impact all across the state of Wisconsin and all across this nation. But you cut that because you saw a provision that said diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so it doesn't just impact people of color, it impacts everybody.
Well, it does. But they don't want you to see how it impacts the white community.
Right, but it,
you know,
I know.
They are masking the fact that what they are doing, they want to make it look like it's only impacting brown, black people in this country, only immigrants.
Right.
But the reality is that poor working people that are white, middle class white people, are being impacted. You know, the mask that they are being given to veil the hidden secrets of what's happening is the culture wars. They're using culture wars in order to mask the economic attack that is being conducted upon them. You know, a good example is, well, you know, what happened to the farmers recently. You know, you're going to go ahead and implement these tariffs, which are really designed to enrich the billionaires of this country, but you're going to go ahead and hurt the people in your own country, the farmers, for example, from doing their livelihood. And, for example, with the whole soybean stuff, you know, just to give an example, the farmers, because of the tariffs, China hasn't bought any soybeans from America.
Right.
And on top of that, China decided to go to Argentina to get their soybeans.
Right. Much cheaper, and they won't go back.
And probably will never go back.
Right.
So it hurts the farmers in America. But what does Trump do? Trump then turns around, and because Argentina's having economic issues, gives $20 billion to Argentina. So you have Argentina getting $20 billion from the United States to prop up its economy, and also receiving contracts from China that used to come from America. So how is that helping the American people or the American farmer? Because it's never been about the working class, the middle class. It's never been about the issue of controlling black and brown. It's always been about making sure that the most elite 1% of this country continues to harvest all the dollars into its pockets, destroying in its process everyone. And if we and they control the media, they could easily say things like this, but what they want people to do is focus on fighting each other.
But when you've been led to believe that you as a person a white person in this country, and you have been the majority, and you still are the majority, overwhelming majority. And so historically, these aren't things you've had to worry about for the most part, because you were given great opportunities. Nobody shut the door on you when you sat down for an interview based solely on the color of your skin. But yet there are now those who say, well, yeah, they're shutting the door on me. I'm not getting a fair shake because of the diversity, equity, and inclusion in the civil rights laws that came into place. And so somehow I'm getting the short end of the stick. Even though they don't realize, wait a minute, I'm a farmer, I'm getting the short end of the stick, and I'm going to blame diversity, equity, and inclusion because they're giving black farmers special treatment, they're giving Hispanic farmers special treatment, and I'm getting the short end of the stick, but they don't understand. The people who gave you the short end of the stick are the ones who push the corporate farmers
right
into your community.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. And took over and got
you're getting the short sell out. You're getting the short end of the stick because by and large you have a lot more of the land.
Yes.
You know, when you compare black farmers and Hispanic farmers to the land mass that they control compared to white farmers, farmers have huge amounts of land. And so corporate farms or the major agricultural corporations need land. And so what do we do to try to acquire some of that land? Well, bankroll.
Yeah.
And you bankrupt these independent farms and take over their land. And so it's a land grab that's going on by Wall Street. The agricultural corporations are doing major land grab, and this administration is helping it along.
But they've been led to believe, the average farmer, that I can't get the loan, I can't get the same loan that the minority farmer is getting because there's special provisions set up that were set up going back 30, 40 years because of the discrimination that existed. Forever.
That's all.
And that's even peanuts.
That's flim flam.
I know.
You know, that's all flim flam. There's no basis for that. There's no truth to that. Because if you look at from the 80s to the present, there has been a slowing stability going on in the farms. You know, the farms, independent farmers, there was stability in their life. There was growth happening. There was selling of their products going on. You know, a white farmer owning 2,000 acres was making money. He was still doing a livelihood. You know, so you're going to be upset with a black farmer that owned 100 acres? No, there's something wrong there. And the reason why they were up in arms, because they were believing the hype that's being pushed by the big boys, the big agricultural farmers, the big corporations, the billionaires, you know, who are looking to amass land and you know.
And poisoning their land.
Exactly. It's a real tangled web that was weaved by Wall Street in concert with their representatives in the government. And it worked because people were more interested in the issue of racial hatred than they were in the issue of economics. And so they kept accepting the lies and accepting the half-truths and accepting the misinformation and saying they're being victimized by all these so-called favorable programs to black and brown people, when the reality and the history clearly and the data out there really shows that was never the case.
You know, Robert, affirmative action. So this misconception that affirmative action is for blacks and Hispanics, and they've been taking advantage of affirmative action, when they fail to understand affirmative action, women, disabled people, all sorts of other groups.
Affirmative action wasn't just for one group.
I know. Yeah. But if people don't know that, and they've been led to believe it was all predicated and based on the color of one's skin,
right,
then they could point the finger and say, yeah, this is what you've done. But if you look at all the different groups that benefited by affirmative action, white females, number one.
Right. Right.
Right. But how often do you hear that being talked about? That's not the case. The disability changes that came into the society because of affirmative action.
Right.
And other programs.
More doors opened up for a broader number of people.
Not just people of color,
exactly.
But they fed the people of color.
Right. It opened doors. It also opened doors for poor white people.
Yes.
You know, I mean, people that live in Appalachia benefited from affirmative action. You know, especially trying to get into some college or
right.
some university. Because
predicated on the fact that they weren't
part of
the
legacy
poverty
programs.
Yes.
You know, the rich elite had guarantees that their kids would be able to attend some of these universities and colleges.
Harvard, Princeton,
poor,
and those
poor
kind of places.
Poor white people didn't have those guarantees. And so how were they going to be able to compete against these folks, if they have the ability, the smarts, the capabilities, and the wherewithal to meet the entrance exams and do everything, and then they don't get chosen because Jonathan Winthrop III was able to go ahead and get in due to his daddy having billions of dollars and investing in the university.
So, Robert, let's just put it on the table, which is what I know it's going to happen with you and why I love having the conversations with you so often. At the root of all that's happening right now in this country and that people don't want to talk about is the fact that Donald Trump and Republicans and this whole Project 2025, at the root of it is the fact that whites who've been the majority are going to be the majority, but if you combine all the different minorities, Asian, Hispanic, African American, in a short period of time, whites won't be the majority in this country anymore. It's inevitable. There's nothing they can do to prevent the fact that there are going to be more minorities, and this is going to be a majority
combined
minority,
yes.
Majority minority nation.
But that is not only what they fear. What they also fear is that to bring in enhanced numbers to that population growth is going to be the poor whites and the working class whites that are going to be augmenting that number. Because there's going to be a common theme and a commonality that's going to be bringing those groups together, and that is economics, life, survival, how to provide food, health care for my families. And when people start realizing that the ones who are benefiting the most are 98% of the whites who have all the money, have all the bank accounts that they need to continue to live the life of luxury that they have, then they know they're in trouble. That's why they are engaging in these culture wars, engaging in these hates, and feeding into all of these divisive policies. Because it's really, you know, the bottom line is, it's really about protecting and making sure that the people of color in this country and the poor whites and the middle class whites do not merge and combine their forces to go after the people who have been really behind the destruction of this country, and that is the elite and rich, of no matter who they are. And it could be white, black, brown, purple dot, doesn't matter. If you're part of the billionaire class, if you're part of the multimillionaire class, your interest is to make sure that your power is not affected by these people.
So Robert, if we just think for a millisecond and not see today, but try to see 10 years from now, 15 years from now, when AI has eliminated hundreds of millions or hundreds of thousands of jobs for people who are degreed.
Right.
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
Okay. Yeah. So what happens then? We're facing a time, Robert, that I think our nation hasn't faced in a long, long time. Those people with the money and with the power know about it. The average everyday Joe, he's holding on to something.
And you know what is scary?
What?
They're not trying to hide this fact. They're not trying to hide it. It's right there in front of you. If you look at some of them, they're putting Hollywood, for example. Hollywood, they say, oh, Hollywood, it's all the, you know, Hollywood is showing you what the future looks like, you know, where cities are controlled by technology.
Right.
Where people are out on the streets suffering and fighting to survive. If you look at some of these movies out there, 20, 30 years from now, that's probably going to be reality. Because you could already see it in cities around the country when you go to certain parts of certain cities. All these shanty towns, all these alleys, all these places where they have shacks and people living in tents. That's just the start. But what's happening is the technology, and Jeremy Rifkin is an author who wrote a great book called The End of Work back in the early 1990s. That book laid it all out. Automation, technology, those are the tools that are going to be used to control the population. This isn't a fantasy. This is real. You know, you got Elon Musk developing all those robots out there. You know, you got robots now that can serve you coffee. You know, this isn't a joke. These people are looking to enhance control of the gold. They are looking to enhance their control, and their control of it is to basically stay in power, because for them, they have enough money. Now it's about the fight for power.
So Rob, they're building these huge centers in cornfields, technological centers that will control technology in the future. Huge,
right.
I forgot what they're called, those kind of centers where all the thinking and those kind of things technologically are being done. Don't people understand? They used to build factories in those areas
exactly.
where people would come to work.
Right.
Right.
Now it's just a big old robot spot.
Yes. You know?
And to make sure that those centers are eventually not overrun by the population, now Bezos from Amazon is proposing that some of those centers be built in space. So this way, when the population wakes up and sees what's really happening, instead of targeting the centers that controlled all this stuff on the ground, they're going to be able to maintain control of everything from space. If you look it up, Bezos has got the thing with AI and all that, looking to build it out in space.
So the reason we're having this conversation is for people to try to get beyond this race. And at the root of all of
it. Get beyond the culture war. Don't get caught in that real shallow trap.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter if you don't have any money, what color you are.
Exactly. I mean, all my white friends out there that are believing in that stuff, what black man stopped you from paying your car payment? Or stopped you from owning a house? Or stopped you for what brown man is out there raising your property taxes? or taking the money out of your wallet because of tariffs.
Well, clearly you see what is transpiring all over this nation, and people know it's 100% wrong to round up people based on the color of their skin. That's it.
Yeah.
No other reason. Remember, they said that we're going after gangs.
Right. They were supposed to go after criminals at first. Exactly.
And now
they're just snatching up anybody and putting them in an unmarked government car.
Because what? Because of the color of their skin.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So it's no longer about that these are criminals. It's about, hey, he looks like somebody.
But notice also, and this is happening in Chicago. It just happened yesterday, the other day. Notice now they're starting to target whites. And just yesterday, they shot a white priest in the head with one of those paintballs.
Right.
You know, so it's going to get to the point where it's going to move away from people of color, and they're going to start treating white people the same way. And it's just a gradual shift. And what they'll say, and that's what they're saying now, is, well, you know, they may be white people, but they're leftist. You know, they're Antifa.
Right.
That's why they're pumping this stuff out. Because it continues the mantra, continues the lying campaign and to protect their interests by causing most whites to see this as, you know, a part of the cleaning up effort that they're trying to engage in.
You know, Robert, it almost appears, and I hate to say this, that it's getting to the point where it's almost too late. When they can bring in National Guard troops from a different state.
Let me tell you something. You got the No King's Day coming up October 18th.
Yes.
We'll see what happens. If they come in with the National Guard, if they come in rolling in those demonstrations and trying to destroy those demonstrations, then we're at a point where it could be too late.
Well, I'll tell you, man, I'm excited because I'm going to MC the No Kings rally in Milwaukee on the 18th. And I'm honored to have the opportunity to be amongst those kinds of people, because the only way this can ever get fixed is what? The grassroots. There's no change
if we don't mobilize. And, you know, I tell my friends when they ask me, well, how do we do this? I said, look, go into history. Go into history of the 1980s in South Korea. Go into history of the 1980s South Korea when they started doing the same thing there. What we saw in the 1980s
Cuba
in South Korea,
Cuba
when they
in the
started,
1950s.
You know, when they started doing the dictatorship change in South Korea, the people mobilized. The people went and organized and fought against that dictatorship back then. You know, we've got to, as you said, the people from the grassroots, the people from the communities, all the people have to educate each other on what's really going on here. Because the bottom line is, if we don't change the direction that the billionaire elites and their allies in government have for this country, we're going to be seeing a lot more of what we see in our cities, and that is a lot of those shanty towns growing and a lot more people suffering.
You know, Robert, people can say the Democrats shut down the government, and the Democrats shouldn't be saying, well, we're not the ones who shut it down. The Republicans, the Democrats should stand up with their back straight and say, yeah, we shut it down. We shut it down because don't you understand what these people are doing to you? Don't you understand you're not going to be able to afford the health care that you have and that you've been able to benefit from with the Affordable Care Act? They're taking away all of those things that are going to increase the health care. To be able to stand straight and not waffle. Right?
Right.
I mean, you got to be clear on this. You can't be, well, they did it. No, we did it. Man, come on, man.
Well, you know, I'm an independent. You know, I used to be. I used to be a Democrat back in the 90s. And I turned against that party because I saw that party was not doing right by the people of America. They should have taken stands that they're trying to take today back then.
Right.
They should have stopped this nonsense when it started festering its head in the 1980s.
Yeah.
But because they were competing with the Republicans for handouts from the billionaires and the millionaires, the Democrats went to poop. You know, I got out because I saw them now as the same wing on the same bird. And I said to myself, look at these guys. They're caving in. They're forgetting their backbone. They're forgetting their roots. They're forgetting who they're supposed to be backing up. And here they are caving in to everything that came out of the billionaire and corporations' agenda, and giving them everything, cutting back government services, cutting back on regulations, giving them everything instead of making that stand back then, fighting back and doing what they're doing today. Because what they're doing today is right. They need to continue to explain to the American people, be as transparent as they can, that this whole thing with the healthcare debate is about you. They should have been doing that 30 years ago.
You know, Robert, the billionaires, doesn't matter. They don't have to be a member of any party.
Exactly.
I'm a billionaire.
They don't have to be a member of any country. No, they don't care about country loyalty.
So we've got people who are talking about billionaires, and so billionaires have made it clear we're going to be all right.
Right.
It doesn't matter who's in office.
Exactly.
What can you do to hurt me?
Exactly.
Okay? And so billionaires, I didn't hear many of them pushing back on the fact that they're going to give them these tax breaks, because a billionaire who gets a tax break, he can't even see the tax break that he got. He's a billionaire. What is he going to get? A couple hundred million? What is, or a hundred million or whatever it is? It's peanuts compared to a billionaire.
Yeah, as far as he's concerned, that's the money he's using to buy the government.
Well, yeah, man. That's really it in a nutshell. And so we can't talk to the billionaires and expect them to understand and feel our feelings. They have no compunction.
Look, the billionaires are in a struggle themselves, okay? There is an international struggle between Western billionaires and its Eastern billionaires,
right?
Okay? Western billionaires are in this fight to win world dominance. Eastern billionaires, you know who the Eastern
same
billionaires are in the same fight. So they're doing everything to take away from the countries that they operate out of in order to achieve their goal.
World domination.
Exactly. So we're just pawns in that fight. You know, they've bought enough people to, you know, people at Fox News that they just pay millions of dollars to spin and tell all of their deceitful misinformation, misleading, and got the people so blinded by this. The problem is that, you know, before the time of Fox, and Fox started, what, in like late 80s, early 90s?
Right around the time Newt Gingrich
and and the contract on America and all those people.
Right.
That should have been time that the Democrats should have stepped it up. But, you know, Clinton, who I think was a horrible person, Clinton and that whole network got in power. Remember, they came out of Arkansas, you know, and they got in there and they implemented the corporate Democrat agenda. You know, and the corporate Democrat agenda was the downfall of the Democratic
Party.
Three strikes,
you're out, truth and sentencing, no parole, and
when you got two parties now vying for the love and the money of the corporations and the billionaires, you got nothing. So the people didn't have nothing really to choose. You know, the Democratic Party lost its focus. The Republican Party never had a focus. Their focus has always been to move forward with what corporations want. There once when the Republican Party had the idea of family value, but all that went away back in the 50s when they started mobilizing to try to make friends with the corporations.
So Robert, when we look at what's beneath what is transpiring in this country, it is sinister, it's diabolical. And so Project 2025 is every bit of that.
Right.
And so
that's Satan's Bible right there.
And it's written in a manner that intellectuals understand. It's not written where the average everyday Joe,
right,
who works every day, he's not in there.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But they've been led to believe, because of media outlets that's controlled and people who are paid to carry that message, they'll give it to them and feed them in a manner of really, hey, you know, too many people of color have come into this country. They're taking the jobs away from you. They're bringing down the cost of a job because they'll work for anything, and you're being, and this is what they're being fed.
Right.
So at the root of it, and we started talking about this early on, is that misunderstanding of the average everyday Joe in this country. He's coming up less than what he was from the perspective of 20 years ago. He's not gaining the opportunity and the American dream. It's harder for him to get than it was for his father and his grandfather, and he's got to blame somebody.
Right.
I can't get in Harvard because my father went there, but I can't get in Harvard because
I had to make room for Larry.
Yeah.
I had to make room for Juan.
Yeah. I know, but check it out. But and I say to people who say that to me, it wasn't fair. Their father was in Harvard, and he should have had he wanted his son to get the same opportunity, but his son can't get the opportunity because an Asian got the opportunity. But what I say to them is, could it be that the Asian had even a higher
degree of brain power than your son?
Yeah. And hey, just because your son didn't get in, still 70 to 80% but, of the whites that got in, I mean, people who got in were white.
But,
and your son was on the lower end.
Right. But
of
see,
the 70
they don't want,
that got
but,
in.
But see, but look. Look, they don't want to believe that their white son has lower brain capacity. Okay? And that belief was constantly pushed out there also by the spokespeople of the white supremacist class, Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk went ahead and started talking about brain power, especially when he started to brain power black women.
Right.
Right? So he perpetuated that notion into the psyche of the white population by saying that black women, Michelle Obama, all these others, do not have the capacity of having the kind of brain power needed in order to be successful. See, that kind of talk perpetuates that notion that how can my son, white Billy, cannot get into this university, but then this black student, this Asian student, is capable of, when I know for a fact, based on what my white heroes are telling me, that my son,
superior,
because he's white, he's superior. He has the brain power. These people can't possibly have that kind of brain power to be smarter than my kid.
But what they fail to understand, Robert, is and in India, in China, in those nations that a couple decades, three, four decades, maybe 40 years ago, 50 years ago, that may have been the case, because they were bringing China and India were realizing the importance of education in Asia. And they focused on educating their populations.
Exactly.
They educated their population, right. Whole populations of people, while in this country, we decided not to put as much money.
And again, that was all designed.
I know,
because
man.
These people were thinking 30, 40 years ahead.
Yeah.
The billionaires and the corporations knew, in order to achieve their agenda that they're planning for, that we are in the midst of today, they knew they had a downsize educational funding for this country and dummy down the population. And they've been doing that for the last 30 years. It's been going on. Programs that help kids achieve academically. Programs that help kids achieve trades and carpentry.
We can't afford that, Rob.
All that stuff. And we couldn't afford it because the Republican Party was pushing along the agenda to cut all this, not only to reduce opportunities so that then they could open the door for the culture wars, but then to also implement the big agenda, and that is to not only get us fighting each other, but to eventually take all the resources that are out there and put it under the control of Wall Street and the billionaires.
Man, I wish we had more time. We can't take care of it all today, but we'll keep on having the dialogue and the conversation. Always great to have my good friend Robert Miranda on the airwaves. We'll continue the conversation the next time around. Always good to see you, my buddy.
All right. Well, good luck on that event there. That's great.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
Take care.